McClain was supposed to be on, but he was renegotiating his contract. So he was a guest that didn't show up. So I was asked, well, do you want to stick around and do a contest? I said, yeah, sure. I'm nervous as hell. And so one of the questions that he asked me was, he said, okay, well, what's a number that all Canadians have had since, you know, such and such a time? And my reply was, no word of a lie, was it the number 7? Right? It's the social insurance number, but I'm such an idiot that I come up with the number.
Oh no, you disappeared.
Number 7, and yeah.
Oh,
so
oh.
That. Oh, did I? Can you hear me still?
I can still hear you now. You can't hear? Yeah, you were just freezing up
okay.
Like in your facials. That's all. Okay.
Yeah, it says that I'm unstable.
That totally makes sense to me. Wow. So you just said number 7, not social insurance number.
Just like an idiot. But yeah, that was an eye opener on how not to behave on television.
Ah, well, you got to learn somewhere, right? And why not on the Mike Bullard show, right? I mean, nobody's
it wasn't cable 14. I'll tell you that.
It wasn't cable 14. But it was pretty close.
Yeah, it's not too far off.
Not too far off. It had glimpses of Darren Lehman's Music Spotlight show.
I've got some videotapes, my friend, that I haven't digitized yet, but I've got some of that. There's some skilled interviewee techniques there, to behave.
That's so funny. This is Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunnar, and of course, my special guest at this time from Empty Hours is Paul Harrison. We're just catching up again. 18 months of a pandemic lockdown, which seems to be I've always slipped this in every conversation I'm having with everyone, just because things are opening up again. With you were doing, and I'm like other people, you started streaming from your basement. And it was great because it was you, the guitar, some sort of like 1970s disco multicolored thing on the go behind. Yeah. Yeah. It made me actually think that I was in grade 5 staying over at Allison Kruchka's aunt's house because they had a disco floor built in. And I looked at that and I'm like, oh, God, man, like that. He's got the most swinging pad ever for basement.
It's just a single light. Because I'd seen some people's early streams, and I thought, well, it's just them sitting in their basement. I have this light. I wonder what that would look like. And most of my friends hated it and said, it's the stupidest thing you've ever done. But well, I didn't care. Something had to take away from looking at me, really.
Right.
Because that's a weird, like to play to your phone is a really weird thing to do.
On my perspective it was like, well, I'm bored. This is what you're going to do to keep a little bit of sanity if you can't go outside and play.
I wasn't so much bored, but it did have a lot to do with sanity and a lot to do with mental health, just to say, look, I mean, it gave me something to look forward to every Friday. So I would take requests all week so I get a chance to learn songs that I wouldn't normally learn, and people were asking for. I got to play a lot of originals acoustically, and so it was something to look forward to every Friday, and I really enjoyed it. But again, it was as stressful as a real gig, because I mounted pressure like with my light and my guitar, and I had to make sure the sound was right, and there's only myself and my wife in my basement, so that was a lot of fun to do for sure.
Yeah, that's like the beginnings of us doing the streaming coming out of the pandemic, and a lot of conversation I had, and even I admitted to, like, I did not want to partake in any of the streaming. I thought, oh man, this is gonna suck, you know. And some of it did, and others didn't. And yours came a long way from sucking to like getting really good. Like I thought, like towards the end of it, like, you were banging off like really sharp covers that were going with some of the original stuff.
Played a cover of one of our friend Gavin's tunes as well, and that was
Which Gavin O'Sullivan we're talking about?
Yes, yeah.
Which song did you remember?
You put me on the spot now. It's from his Postcards to the Hammer EP, and I'm having a brain freeze on it too. I'm now embarrassed because Gavin's gonna possibly listen and think I'm an idiot.
He didn't write that. Alanis Morissette did.
No.
He just covered it. No. Well, yeah. I think I'm like, I remember him covering Alanis Morissette. Maybe that's what Paul covered.
No, it wasn't that. No, it was one of his own songs. And, and it, of course, the name escapes me, but
it was Blue. It was Blue.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
I threw you a line and you threw it right back.
Shoot, sorry. it was a girl's name.
Alanis Morissette.
No. All right. This is going nowhere. It'll come.
He'll figure it out and he'll message you and go, you're a goof.
Yeah.
With Alanis Morissette. Okay, so
Ruby. It was a song Ruby.
Ruby, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Ruby. Right. It was a Clash cover, Ruby Soho.
Yeah.
It's not. It's Ruby. I made you a mixtape with my favorite songs. Now I'm scared in your face for some kind of reaction. Call it compulsive, but I choose everyone to improve all the odds of maintaining attraction. I sing in the top of my lungs. Arms entwined in yours, I'm singing all the songs that no one knows. I wanna be a radio. I wanna broadcast everything in stereo. I gotta tell you all the things that I'm giving in 2 minutes at 59. I needed to send out the way that I feel, using somebody's words out across all the airwaves, saying the things, yeah, that I couldn't say before my signal had faded away.
Story to tell. You eat up. together, 'cause you got me all tied up in knots. You leave me hanging on the phone with thoughts that I forgot. If you only knew all the things that I've got to say to you, you give me half a chance to find out what I can do. I guess it's probably just as well, just another good story to tell.
So you come out of that stuff, and a lot of the other questions I've been talking with other people is that how are people being productive? And then of course you were streaming, you were doing that sort of thing. But were you able to do any sort of recording online or anything in regards to Empty Hours with Ruben and the other guy?
Well, Ruben did some of his own streaming as well through Fat Dave, who I'm not sure if you're familiar with. He was a big proponent for, he did streaming live streams every day for 3 months, I think. So Ruben did a part of that. Ruben did some from his own basement. We didn't really, I mean, I did some recording on my phone, like song ideas that I'd plan when we finally got together to mess around with. And we have done that with some of Ruben's ideas and some of my ideas, and generally trying to work that together into some more music to play, for sure. But I'm a lazy person generally, so the prospect, and I had to update my software as well that I still need to do. So I didn't do as much recording, just did a lot of playing and a lot of learning, relearning how to play the guitar, to be honest. And getting back together was a lot easier than I expected. The pieces kind of fell together really easily when we got back together, which was a joy.
It kind of makes sense that would happen, because you've played together for so long, you've known each other for so long, and the tunes that you guys play together, the nuances are there. It's like, it's kind of like muscle memory. You know, you're starting to play,
very
and
much
you
so.
See the other person, you go, oh, I know he's going to play that part. So it makes total sense for me to come in on this part. You know, I didn't think it'd be that hard for you guys to get it back together. For some people it happens, you know, you need a little bit more work.
We hadn't gone more than 2 weeks without playing together,
right?
For the last 10 years, I would say. With a few exceptions, I think, but this was the longest time, and it was hard to not, and that first practice back was, oh my gosh, it was awesome.
Just when everything catches flame, thinking about nothing else but dealing with the pain, guess that I never. Behind. Oh.
must have been a good feeling to be able to do that again. But I mean, the reason why you and I are chatting is because I put a call out to people and, you know, things are opening up. But I mean, everyone seems to be a little tentative on the bookings. I get it, because we're still not sure, you know, with everything that's happening. There's the Delta variant. There's the some sort of new Wu variant that's from down, I don't know, South America. Everyone's going on about that. And I'm like, I'm still trying to deal with the Delta one. Let's not talk about that one yet. Yeah.
And I'm still dealing with the first wave.
Yeah. You know, so everyone's like getting double vaxxed. They're getting their passport, their vaccine passports. Everyone's kind of gearing up like, okay, let's go out. Let's do our thing. And the bands are starting to like want to do shows, but there's a sense of, I don't know what it is. It's just like, do we step back? I mean, the club booking kind of thing, right? Like are the clubs aren't really sending out the information. Like I got this going on, I got that going, because they're scared. And I had to put a call out to people going, what is everybody doing? Like normally I'm getting the information, but right now it's like, no one's like, everyone's kind of afraid to do stuff, but you guys are going to be doing some shows.
Yes, sir. Manny's in particular, he's really, really grabbed the reins. I mean, there's been a lot of devastation with some of the clubs closing down because they can't maintain. But Manny worked really hard. He had a partition set up with limited seating for before the last lockdown, mm-hmm. and he had it. I think we played from bands played from. 7 to 9:30, I think. So we did that a couple times, and that was okay. And he's managed to hang on and hang on. He opened a patio out back with, again, social distancing. So he's really been kind of at the forefront of figuring out how to get through the pandemic and owning a bar, which is hard enough in the best of times.
Right.
So he's done a really good job. So things are starting to open up and things are back to normal. There is limited seating of, I believe it's 75 people inside his club, which kind of works out that every table's filled at that point. And he's been doing fairly well, getting various local musicians to come in. He's actually starting an open mic night. He's got a guy doing an open mic night in the next couple of weeks. So that's really exciting to have happen. And the only thing I'm worried about is if I can stay up past 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, good God. You
know, that's my biggest worry right now.
Ricky Wicks and Billy Frisky, but the latter doesn't care. She's got no one to wear off these days. She doesn't pay him very much attention. He puts his standard dress on, which really doesn't matter. With love's rejected bad, cause she really wore it when they went together to use social function. She lost concern about the conjunction. They really had it all, the lust, the fun, the trust, but someone became all undone. But she still feels the love is real, she's been venturesome. Ever since the girl's part of films, she's gonna meet the other man, but he's an hour late. It's 7:45 and he was supposed to meet her there at 7:15. In a race she leaves the restaurant, but if she gave the bar a glance, she would have had the chance to see him have a drink with Frankie as well as conversation. She took the long walk home and remembers the vacation. They always had a ball, the lust, the fun, the trust, and somehow became all undone. But she still feels the love is real, she's not vengeance, never since the gunfire fell. She wants, and that she acted like a bear. She should try to stitch up something. Once upon a time was a bit of a relationship. And then she found a note that read too bad what we had, coming forever. Instead of plans,
That show is October 1st, Manny's. And we're talking about Manny's. It's in Brantford, not in Hamilton.
Yes,
my show's in Hamilton, but this is in Brantford. Another thing to mention about Manny's, which I thought was quite admirable, was when after the first lockdown, he was doing some streaming. There was artists going on and streaming. I think you were one of them. Yeah. Did Ruben do that as well?
I don't remember. I don't know if I did any streaming from Manny's.
I saw a couple streams of you at Manny's.
Okay. Through the lockdown or before?
Through the lockdown, I believe.
You could be totally right. that's possible. Like just me solo or with the band?
No, it was just you that I saw at Manny's.
Okay, yeah. If I did it, then Ruben did it. Yeah. we share those kind of things. If you saw it, it had to happen.
Well, that's not true. There's been a rough 25 years of things going through my brain. That's not necessarily true. But
Manny's is great because the crowd that goes there encourage you to play your own. I mean, you're playing there for 4 hours, so you do have to play some covers. But yeah. People want to hear your own songs, and that's a really great thing to have in a local bar. I don't think there's any other bars in Brantford that do that.
Is there a timeline that you've talked about with the band about, okay, because you said earlier, you said, okay, well, I have these songs I recorded on my phone. Here's some ideas. Let's get together and you guys rough it out. Do you guys have a timeline of, okay, how many songs you want to write and where do you want to record it this time?
Well, between Ruben and I, we have to update our software, but we do have recording gear, and we've got a lot of friends that are also very helpful in recording, getting specific drum sounds and things like that, that we'll build it from the ground up and either release stuff digitally or there's a vinyl shortage right now and there's a backlog on that as well, so I think we'll just kind of piece it together when we're not playing, because we don't know how long getting back to playing is going to last. We don't know when it's going to, I mean, because we're used to playing in Hamilton, you know, two, three times a month, and Burlington, and that hasn't really opened up to bands yet. It's still solo artists and things like that.
It's slowly getting there. You know, I know the Casbah, I've had quite a few people come on the show doing like acoustic stuff on the patio, that sort of thing. And they're just starting to announce dates indoors, that sort of thing, in the main hall. And then their lounge as well. And the same, I believe, Bridgeworks is starting to announce shows, which is the Sonic Onion folks, Mills Hardware people. And, you know, there's like these other bars are starting to slowly get that way. But that's why I asked that question earlier. Like, are you guys tentative up there with the bar scene, that sort of thing, with music, if you notice that?
No, I mean, I think you get to the point where you've been as careful as you can be, and you just want to get out and play. You want to, you just, I mean, it's cliche, but you want to rock out. You want to turn your amp up. You want to, you know, look at the drummer and hear the drums. Like you miss that a lot. So, I mean, we're not really, the first round, we were tentative of anybody coming up on stage and, you know, hey, or, you know, handshakes and things like that got a little awkward in some places. But we're just, to be honest, we're just happy to get out and play.
Right.
It's
that makes sense. But the other thing you got to consider too is that we're not young guys anymore.
No. I think you and I have known each other for, I would say, over 30 years, legit.
Because I met you at the Corktown and I was all of 21 at the time.
It's been
I've known Gavin since I was like, I don't know, 11. How unfortunate on my part.
it doesn't seem that long ago though, in like, to be honest, like it doesn't. Look, I mean,
it just goes. You know, yep. And that's why you can't take things for granted all the time. Hey, Paul, that's thanks right. for taking the time out and for doing this Zoom call. And it's too bad that Ruben couldn't join us, but next time we'll try to get him to jump on this as well.
Great. Well, we look forward to that. Thanks. And thanks a lot for contacting us. And always great to catch up. Hey, it's Paul from The Empty Hours. Come and catch us at Manny's Place in Brantford City, Friday, October 1st at 10 p.m.
I yearn for days when life was less civilized. Technology occupied.
For deciding to write that confessionally about things that you never had an obligation to tell anybody.
And yet, at the same time, I meet so many people that tell me their personal stories because of my music, and I have been lucky enough to hear from fans that really have carried me through some of the darkest times of their life and used me as like a friend or a comfort or some kind of sense of that I'm there for them, my music is there for them, and that I speak in a way to the things that they can't speak about. And I think I've always carried that with me from the very beginning as a sense of obligation, that people come to me looking for some kind of sense of not being alone, or that they are seen or heard or felt. And music has been that way for me as well, like my favorite artists. So I think that I've always had a sense, ever since I put out Exile in Guyville, that people were looking to me for more than just a great song or a great album. There was something more that they responded to in the way I presented myself and that they needed from me. And I think that in the world, there's too little of it. There's too little of a sense of, you know, we're in this together, and that it's tough to be a human being, and that the plight of humanity is the same at every level. I think that's something that I like to speak about and make art about, just our humanity, our shared humanity, the things that we all have in common.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Hey, thanks for listening to Steel City Music. I am your host, Gunner. My next guests are Jonathan and Alex from Coda Facto. Last time we were chatting, it was all about, well, we changed the name and we did this and we shot a video and we were going around in the summertime and then this got shot down and then we did this song, we did that. And while this was going on with COVID, and then we sat for a while, and then like the rest of us, we all kind of sat for a while. Then we started up again and then we put a video out, and then we called you and I was like, oh, hey, it's good to see you're alive. And you guys are like, oh, yeah, hey, Gunner, it's great. We're alive, blah, blah, blah. And then you sent me the song, and then we played those other songs. And then now we're here, and we're actually releasing another song after two releases already. The third one is She. Gentlemen,
hey,
thanks for taking time out of your day.
Yeah, thanks for having us again. Appreciate it.
I always feel that the response is quite quiet after I do those big intros. I have to stop that.
Well, it was a great story.
But I had to quickly sum up our last conversation from what I remember.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good, you know, sometimes I forget how exactly we got here. It's like, how did I get here? And here we are. And we're really happy to be back. And, you know, it's been after a year of sort of very quiet activity, it's nice to be back out to be talking about what we're up to. And we're really excited that we have the new song coming out along with the rest of the EP.
Just before you joined in on Zoom, and full disclosure, this is a pre-recorded interview. It's the only way we can do things on my show right now until we can get back into the studios at the radio stations. Jonathan, before you joined in with us, Alex and I were just had a quick chat about, oh, you know, okay, shows are happening again. And I was like, did you see this show that happened at Festival of Friends? There was a lot of people there. And we had a chat, like, you know, there was a fair amount of people out in the field watching the big headliner that was announced, which was Big Red.
Right.
And for me, there was this like, oh, there seems to be a lot of people there. And after 18 months of being told you got to be a part, it looked like there was like a lot of people there. So, which brings me into my next question. Third single in, At some point, you're going to be approaching to do a show in a club. How are you guys feeling about that right now? Are you feeling pretty confident that you can do it, or what do you think?
Yeah, we're getting ready for doing some smaller scale things, not quite the Festival of Friends level, but Alex and I have been putting some thought into finding some open mics, finding primarily outdoor venues, especially while the weather lasts. We're looking at things that like little pop-ups and parks and things like that. Basically nice opportunities that we can just give a little unplugged performance and still have some opportunities to connect with people. But we haven't necessarily looked at planning any sort of big shows because we're quite wary about this transition of stay apart to now everyone come together and love our music and party.
Yeah, that's a little it's just it does feel weird, and that's why I brought the question up. But having said that, Alex, with Jonathan just said about the whole, hey, let's, you know, we're going to do pop-ups, we're going to do open mics, we're going to do these things, because essentially you guys are still just a duo at this point that can become a band again, because you went from being a band to a duo. I think you even started out as a duo, then to a big band, and then back to a duo. But yeah. Is this now a transition now to concentrate more on marketing through social media, this next single, for you guys to keep busy?
Well, I think, like John was saying, this single is a part of a bigger release. So She, the song, is the focus track of the release. So we have released the two singles, Ode to Rose and Rock and Roll Sounds, and She is the third, but it's not actually being marketed alone. Mm-hmm. It is the whole record, the five songs, drops on October 1st, and She will be the focus track that we just kind of put a bit more emphasis on. So really it's kind of the whole package we're going to be focusing on as we move forward through October and November through social media. And John and I are trying to be a bit more proactive and looking at other ways of engagement while we are starting to, peel back the layers and looking at, what is realistic for playing live. Like John said, we'll be doing pop-ups and going to parks. Just we're basically where there's people and there's people can feel comfortable watching and knowing that they're, not too close together, because that is, a lot of people are weary and we have to respect that. And as much as we would love to fill a venue and play, it just isn't a realistic thing at the moment, I truly believe. And I know people are probably capable of doing so, but I don't necessarily feel like it's we're ready to do that, because we just need to see how things unfold. Yeah. Especially with the mandates and the passports and who of our fan base is going down that direction, and we don't want to create a line or a divide between the fan base and the public and Hamilton. We just want to kind of just take our time, make haste slowly, and try and make the best music we can, and give it enough attention and focus that it deserves, because we spent a lot of time working on it over the pandemic and before that. And even now we're being diligent and working on the next set of songs, just trying to be productive and keep busy, because we're still one way or another kind of cooped up. Although everyone's working, there's still that that angst to be creative, because we can't play live,
right? Is there a template of a band that you guys have been following on this release of this She single that has done what some bands, they'll get a jump on everyone else, and they're like, okay, well, we'll do the live streaming, we'll do this, and this is how we're going to release it during COVID. Is there any band that you guys that stand out to you and, oh, you know what, I never thought of that, how to do it this way?
For me personally, while John and I had discussed approaches, it wasn't just John and I in these discussions. We've been working with the tour research out of Hamilton, and we were discussing with them, what might be the best approach. It's tough. Like I was saying to you just before, when you release something, generally you follow it up by playing it live. You have some sort of backing to kind of promote the song. So there hasn't particularly been, in my opinion, a single model that we've followed, other than we had assets already made that we wanted to put out. And we thought, doing a single and a video was the most appropriate fashion of doing so. And having the material that we had ready, it just seemed like an appropriate approach. We've actually, it's funny because when he's talked about doing like live stream, and today is like this evening will be our first live stream where we start breaking down songs and start talking about rock and roll sounds tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So really we're only just starting to do that because now we kind of have a plan and we want to roll that out. But we've been doing kind of a lot of preliminary things, but a lot of it's kind of things we don't necessarily see all the time. Like, you know, when things get pitched to user-generated playlists or to blogs, you know, that's kind of why we work with the tour, because they've been a great support for that. And we have noticed some interest around those singles because of them. And otherwise, we may not have been able to connect those dots on our own before. But it's a learning curve, right? Because it is our first release of anything, really, like, other than the two singles. Like, this is our first record, so a lot of it is learning and kind of figuring out as we go, because as we do more, we'll gain more, hopefully more exposure and just more knowledge, and it'll become more fluid for John and I to be like, okay, you know, this is the way to do it, this is the approach, this is what works, but also what works for us. And as we identify more and more who our fans are, we'll be able to cater to them more specifically.
You're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunnar. My special guest right now is Code of Facto, Jonathan and Alex from the band. And we're discussing the new single, She, that they'll be releasing. Just a quick reminder, everyone, if you're hearing this on September 29th on CFMU, it's actually October 1st that they'll be going to the live stream at 9 o'clock, which is what Alex said earlier. All right, let's just get to the track then. She, tell us about the single.
Yeah. Well, the song is one of the older songs in our repertoire. We John and I used to play this song back at the Baltimore House when that was a thing on King William, and we would play that was a regular song in our set. We play that every time we would play, because it seemed to kind of get people jived and they seemed to enjoy it, and it was a great song for John to play the violin on.
Yeah.
And I think it was like the first song where John really was like, okay, yeah, that you're moving in the right direction now. I wrote a lot of bad songs, you know.
Oh, really?
But you have to, right? You gotta learn how to do it, like anything. And I think that was the first one where John looked at me and was like, okay, yeah, that's, keep doing that. Try to keep doing that. And it just kind of always stuck around, and people we had played with had always really enjoyed it. And Carl, our producer, Carl Jennings, he gravitated towards it as well. And as we kind of unfolded the song in the production process, we really learned what made the song, you know, what made it special, because we started to really break it down, and we were able to emphasize those elements, and we became to respect the song for what it was. And it's it became a special song for us, and we're really happy that we got to record it and work with some really great people, and we're really excited that it's on the record and get to play it for people very soon.
I'll tell you one thing, my first impressions of the song, Jonathan, even after Alex made that comment of, oh yeah, now you're getting it kind of thing, I have this sort of a kinship for East Coast music, Irish music in general, because of my father being raised by a Cape Bretoner. Get hit with all the traditional reels and all that sort of thing. So when I listened to the song, I enjoyed the beginning of it, the whole folk aspect of it. But then as we get halfway through the song, it's almost like a sing-along where everybody is a part of it. And I compared it to either you're sitting around a campfire and everyone knows the tune, or you're in a hall out on the East Coast, or it's almost like a gospel song, if you will, because that's how it made me feel. Like, it was like, this is a big epic part of the song. And then it goes right back out to that one-on-one feel, as if you're just sitting there talking to someone. Did you, when you guys were recording that, and I know Alex just said, oh, well, you know, we broke it down to its basics. When you're playing this kind of stuff, Jonathan, is it, what approach do you come from? Is it because from what I remember, you were trained as a classical player.
Yeah. but for this particular song, it certainly was the folk feeling of it. Although it's not a folk song, there is a feeling in the melody that was, going in that direction. And I think that the main melody, like da 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 da, that was something that was embellished, and especially with the little mini solos and things like that, absolutely inspired by the Cape Breton Irish fiddle sound. It's cool that you got onto the gospel aspect too, because that was certainly something that was part of our producer's mentality, because the backup vocals, lots of oohs and things like that, I think that is definitely in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I look forward to you guys performing that song live, only if I can see the crowd singing it behind me while I'm watching. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is
working
like,
on that. Although this really was one of our most requested songs when we played live. It was the first song, and I started to notice that people were learning the words and singing with it. So that might come true, Gunner.
Yeah, that you're definitely right, John. That was one. It was funny because when I think the one that sticks in my brain more distinctly than anything was when we would play at the St. Hollywood.
Yeah,
because you can really see the crowd beyond the stage lights, and you'd always see couples or just people generally standing closer together and just kind of putting their arm around one another and really getting into the song. And it was funny, you know, I would always see if it was a relationship or whatever, I would always see like the guys actually singing the song, which I always thought was kind of funny. But yeah, you know, people really did enjoy that one, and we're really excited to start playing it again. And we actually are going to be playing. We do have something kind of set in the woodworks for the Sunday after the release. What day is that, John? It's the third. Yeah, we're playing at the Bayfront, doing just an unplugged, you know, social distance, all outside kind of event. And we will be playing the entirety of the EP, and that'll be one of the songs for sure.
Sorry, what time at the Bayfront?
Shooting for 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It works in our favor.
Yeah. Well, there's been a raft open mic at the Bayfront.
Yes.
Heather Valley and Life in the Tribe are hosting it with Fort Elgin. We reached out to Fort Elgin because they said, hey, if you want to use this stuff to do a similar event, reach out. The past weekend, I was at another sort of pop-up thing that was there hosted by Burn the Lube, another band around Hamilton, and seeing that they did that, I followed suit, and we reached out to Fort Elgin to see if we could collaborate on getting a little mini event set up. So we're thinking of reaching out to some of our friends of Code of Facto to partner up and throw a little mini release event.
Hi, our new single She is coming out on October 1st, as well with our EP Jamesville. So make sure to check it out on all streaming platforms. You can also find us on all your social media platforms at Code of Facto.
Celebrate the release with us on October 3rd at Bayfront Park. You can find us by the beach.
She's with me. The girl right there I found in my dreams. She wants to be movie star, something in between. Long blonde hair, it just ain't fair how beautiful you are. I'll spend my night counting my stars. She's easily most beautiful girl I've ever seen. Hard to believe, only a month has passed so fast. Wouldn't you agree? And I'll try to be subtle, and if it ain't too much trouble, gonna tell you what you mean to me. I'd tell the whole wide world. Ironically, she's all I ever see. song and tell her truthfully. Long blonde hair, a worn out pair of denim jeans. She thinks I'm out of her league. Little does she know I'm on her team. Love is a riddle, but tell me it's quite simple. There's no room in the middle without you. Found in my dreams, she wants to be a movie star or something in between.
You're listening to C101.5 FM The Hawk from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to Steel City Music, and of course, I am your host, Gunnar. Thank you for tuning in. It's so nice to be in a upbeat kind of mood right now. I've been doing these pre-records for, I don't know, forever, for about 18 months, and I'm all my shows have been like 1 hour I'm like affected by the rain. The next hour I'm being affected by being a shut-in or I'm being affected by the news. But right now I'm looking out my window. We just had this horrible amount of rain for about 2 days. And now the sun is out and I'm feeling it, folks. I'm feeling the energy right now. I might be going a little squirrely. Not Lou Molinaro squirrely, but just a little squirrely. Big shout out to my buddy Lou Molinaro. All right, so in this hour, two shows that are happening at the Westdale here in Hamilton, Ontario, one of those nice big old theaters that we've been able to hold on to and not tear down and turn into a condo. Isn't that great, folks? Two concerts. October 1st, Hamiltonian icon. He was the guy that was always helping his generation of musicians. He went on to produce everyone, blah, 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 blah. Dan Lanois. So I got him on the latter part of this hour. But in this portion, we're going to spin the music of the old man. My buddy, my pal, my older brother, my fake father, the whole nine yards, Tom Wilson, in his act, Lee Harvey Osman. Now, Tom has been putting out some books. Tom's been playing. Tom's been winning Junos. Tom's been doing his artwork, and he's been keeping busy. And I just love the fact that, you know, that he's, I think he's like, what is he? He's in his 60s now, and he's still going strong, acting like he's in his, well, as